a lot of people, I say, give up early because they don't think it's a live like something that you can make a living off of.
It's all about what your goal is. For me, my goal is to feel happiness, and I feel the most happiness when I'm playing with my 14-piece band, or I'm in the studio with Malibu, or I'm developing a different band that I like.
Yeah. I love being an entrepreneur. I think musicians and artists, they have to really embrace that they are entrepreneurs. They're sort of piecing a career themselves together.
My favorite artist, without a doubt, is Post Malone.
Oh, okay. He rules.
He really does. He just does so many different things where he's just genreless. And I think he does use auto-tune thing where you hear...
Auto-tune is not going to affect your tone. If your tone of your voice sucks, sorry, your voice sucks.
So it can't make me a SoundCloud rapper?
Yes, you can. That is doable.
It probably could, but, actually.
I could be like 6'9". But it's Goo Goo Dolls.
I don't. All right.
They're pretty good.
Your voice right there. One of my exes used to say, like, if I was like ever lying, my voice would go.
Look at me, look, it's totally fine.
You look good in this. Matchbox 20. I like Rob Thomas.
Dude. Rob Thomas is funny. Like, he did that one song with Santana, Smooth.
Yeah, yeah.
He also did that one song that I got to sing the background vocals on. Oh, I'm sorry. Two songs.
That's true.
That's
on
sick.
His solo Tom is album. On his last album.
Hello, and welcome to the MCM podcast number 25. I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful new year. I can't believe we're at 25 fucking episodes. I say this every time. I said this on episode 2. I can't believe we're on the second episode because the amount of times we fuck up and things that happen, I'm referencing, we just did 5 minutes of goddamn material and I messed up. But we're not gonna talk too much about that. Only I'm gonna bring that up. But we have an awesome, awesome podcast today. You know, the people we have on are from a great, great record label out of Asbury Park, which Asbury Park definitely, I think, wait, did it? No, it actually was second place in the best towns in Monmouth County. You should have gotten first. I'll be
came
honest.
In first?
Red Bank did. Red Bank. I don't like Red Bank. I'd say Asbury Park so much better. But the guys are from Telegraph Hill Records, a local record label. They got a place at Asbury Park and also NYC. We're going to get into that. But before I do that, and before I bring in the guests, it's a weird number from Austin, Texas is calling me. They could wait, okay? And it's some big, obviously, podcast.
Your car number. Warranty it's, is out.
It's either that or Joe Rogan. Either one. Whatever. But this past year, with this podcast, we've done amazing things. I mean, the guests we've had on, whether it's been professional comedians from, you know, New Jersey, even New York, TikTok stars, which I don't even want to get into that, but I've literally taken a break from the page because of not because of TikTok. I've taken a break from the page and the podcast because I needed a break from it since towards the end of this past year. I was doing a lot of the work. JR, as you guys know, is getting a new job in the city. And, you know, with that being said, I'm doing a lot of this. So I took a month break, went skiing, had a little fun in Vermont, started a war with that entire state. Shit on the entire state. Vermont still sucks. And I still got to release the pizza review. I have it edited. But here's the deal. I don't want any more of you fucking Vermont kids DMing me. Fucking weird shit like New Jersey smells. And I'm like, where have you been in New Jersey? Newark? Yeah, that's why.
They're like, right. Newark smells.
Yeah, Newark does. Or the oranges. People always say that. They're like, oh, you know what? New Jersey is so bad. Like, I'm like, oh, okay, where have you been? Well, I was driving on the turnpike one day and then left to go. I'm like, that's why. You know, New Jersey is like one of the most diverse states in the country. Visit all of it, then talk shit to me. I was in Vermont, of course, good skiing, but other than that, horrible pizza. I don't know what to say about that. Did you guys see that? The war with Vermont. I'll kind of recap. I'll talk a little
shoot
bit.
Her away.
Yeah, I'll shoot it your way. You'll see it. It was horrible. I had like thousands of Vermont kids DMing my personal too. Like fucking. I was like, dude.
Does that mean you made it? Like you made it?
I somewhat did. That's my claim to fame. There is literally making a war with the entire state of Vermont as a county and beating them. And funny enough, Vermont has like 620,000 people. Monmouth County has more than that. Like
really?
650,000. So our county has more people than their entire state.
The entire state.
Yeah.
When you say kids, are these like, I'm just envisioning an army of like 8-year-olds like yelling at you.
It was a little older, maybe 11.
Okay, cool. Nice.
Can't beat Jersey.
But listen, I'm bringing you guys in really quickly. I need to introduce our awesome guests. So this is, of course, Fern, and this is Palm from Telegraph Hill Records. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty solid. Great. Awesome. Got to sleep in a bit and about to hit it.
So you're saying we shouldn't have done this at 10 or even 8 a.m.?
No, when we first started this, you did say we were going to do 10 a.m. And I was like, all right, we can do it. And then you messaged us changing the time. And I was like, yes. And then you messaged us trying to change it back to 10. And I was like, hells no. 11:30. We did it.
I usually do that because I have work after. And unfortunately, I probably have something to do after for work. But fuck that. I probably will. My boss is going to text me. Well, I saw some emails
for me, like, January is National Do Nothing Month. Like, right? Like you just said, you took a month
especially
off.
Especially this year.
We do a big event in December, and then afterwards, like, I disappear. Like, everyone from the label reaches out to me, and I'm just like, no. Nope. I am reading some terrible book. I'm playing Super Nintendo, and no one talked to me.
Yeah. I've been editing 2 videos.
Palm Works.
Doing a lot of work.
Okay.
Having a lot of sessions.
So clearly the work goes to you.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no, you can't get through to me, though. Like, still just the same.
I still read the emails, and I just keep on seeing emails from different people going, hey, any progress on that project, Palm? And like, hey, Palm, can I get an update? It's been 2 weeks. Hey, Palm. Hey, Palm.
It's just always like, it's
you can't rush perfection. I've been told.
Yeah. You can't. Yeah. You really can't. The problem is virality makes you rush that because you just want to get it out.
It's not supposed to be perfect, though.
It's not, because you see so much shit online where things aren't perfect. Yeah. And even TikTok. Like, the thing, this is my biggest thing with this podcast is we're doing a new setup, but when it, like, obviously you guys are talking here and the camera's going to go to you.
It's
when you're
awesome.
Talking,
beautiful.
Camera goes to me. You know, this could get 500 to 1,000 views on our YouTube page.
Sick.
What's up, YouTube? I take 10 goddamn seconds to make a fucking TikTok and it gets 50,000 views. What the fuck?
That's pretty awesome. I guess I need to make TikTok. I've been really... All my students have TikToks, so
Justin's on. You can't... I'll put a Justin TikTok on there. Just TikTok. And the problem, like, we're going to save it for a little bit later. But I want to get into, obviously, your awesome label. And I know one of the bands. Of course, I know a few members. I was saying a few of them were my college buddies. They're in their frat. So I know them. And immediately, I'm going to go to your site and look at all your shit. And I was like, hold up, Malibu? Okay. Yeah. They're good. I've seen them live plenty of times.
Yeah, I love those boys. And being in the studio with them is so much fun. I remember we had a session a couple months ago and like the power outage went out and they were like, we're lighting candles and they're having a good old time and we're all just...
Yeah, Firm was in the middle of doing an organ take for them, actually.
That's true, I was.
And the power just cut out completely and we just hung out, did like some acoustic jams for another couple of hours and then they went home.
Dude, they're the most precious boys ever. Like, that's everyone at the label is just like them Malibu boys. Like, they did some commercials for our last event for like Pliables, and it was the best out of all the commercials.
Okay.
Really nice. Yeah, their upcoming music's too, pretty, really interesting stuff that we've been
working
on.
They have a new album coming up, right?
Yeah. New album. They got some strings on there. It's getting a little orchestral. And they're diving into that, like, you know, still that like rock sound of theirs, but there's some more acoustic-y songs and there's some beautiful ones.
They put a lot of 12 string on stuff.
A lot of
12 string. And even some mandolin. Ray got fancy. Actually, I think mandolin is one of his precious little instruments. He like kind of his favorite little thing to add every now and then.
Does that make the job harder on you when like a band makes an album so like it's not one thing? There's so many different.
Thankfully, I've been trained over the years of working with Fern.
So I recorded an orchestra for my first album, like oboes, clarinets, harp. Multiple pianos, multiple drum sets, and like so Palm had to just do it, and like horns and strings and all this stuff. So at this point, if like someone brings in 3 or 4 random instruments, he's good.
Okay. I mean, honestly, that's been just sort of the process of as engineer, as producers, just kind of discovering sounds, how they can work, and seeing what you like to play with, you know. And it's been fun because we have been able to tap into so many different musicians that are able to put their flair on it with that sort of instrumentation, and you know.
And you start to hear like what instruments work really cool together. Like I never knew like doing a steel drum part and an electric guitar part, like a rock indie rock, is going to sound great. I got one of my songs where steel drum is doing the melody, electric guitar is doing the melody, and it just kind of like works together.
Makes it fun. Different, you know. You wouldn't expect it in a rock band.
Well, I certainly love that. I mean, I say this a lot. I think my favorite artist, without a doubt, is Post Malone.
Oh, okay. He rules. He
and
really does.
He just does so many different things where he's just genreless. I really feel like he's done. And I think he does use... I also want to say this, like the whole auto-tune thing where you hear people use...
It's like reverb. It's like same thing.
I don't have a big problem with it when guys can... like, because Post Malone can actually sing. He's got a voice, but he just uses it...
Auto-tune is not going to affect your tone. If your tone of your voice sucks, sorry, your voice sucks. But like,
So I can't make me a SoundCloud rapper.
Yes, you can. That'd be doable.
It probably could, but actually.
I could be like 6'9".
But it's just
you
like,
got beats?
If you're out there
you
know how to use reverb on your voice and you know how to use delay on your voice, so you know how to use compression on your voice, auto-tune is just another effect. If you like how it sounds, to me it just sounds like there's a flanger on there.
Yeah.
You can put flanger on my guitar all the time.
You can definitely hide it and use it to be subtle and just sort of reinforce something. things.
Yeah, you can tune every single vocal on someone's album, and it sounds great. And then that person plays live, and then he's really upset because his vocals don't sound as good.
The thing that I really like to use is it's a program called Melodyne, where you actually get in and manipulate each note and work on it and pitch correct.
It's
sort of
not just vocals.
Very fine-tuned.
You can do that for strings. You can do that for guitars. Like we've Melodyne.
You can do it for everything.
Yeah,
we Melodyne
and it's awesome
our horn section.
With like strings and horns too, a lot of the just sort of pitch bend. It's like a little bit of a, it's sort of off the note. It's drifting in and out. But with the program, you're able to sort of like solidify it a little bit more. So that way, when you have multiple layers of it, it's not sounding like one's out of tune or the other. Because especially when you're doing it in this fashion and you're not like sitting down with an orchestra who's rehearsed 100,000 times on a part, like, you know, they're coming up with it on the spot. They're not really perfected the part yet even, and we're just capturing it. And then they're playing with themselves that on a previous take, maybe they're not even listening to what the audio is happening, that's the final audio too, you know? So it's like you gotta really like make
it a lot of circumstances, and you gotta figure out what the goal is. Are we trying to make a jazz album? Are you trying to make a classical album? Or are we doing an indie rock thing where we're literally in the studio, like I'm humming a part out to my string player, like, yo, play something like da 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 da, and it takes them a while to figure it out, and like maybe we don't get a perfect take, but like we can go in, we sculpt it. It's kind of like it's all about your goal. And like 10 years ago, if I was sitting here, I would be like, I would never admit to tuning all my parts and everything.
Yeah,
but that's just how it is. Like we edit everything out, and we want especially my project to be as that's the sound I want. I want it to be in tune. I want it to be kind of radio ready.
It's more the process too of how we go about making the music, where we'll do a lot of takes of different sections, and we'll really work on each part in with the musician, just kind of like performing just a little small portion of the song, right? So it's sometimes they really have to focus to get a part right. Other times they want to do the full take, you know? But when we go back and sift through all of it, we kind of like listen to what's the best performance of each little part and really make something work. So that part
are you,
of it's just
you're
an
able
extension
to
of
cut
that.
And put
oh,
it
it's called comping.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My guitar. At first I was putting my foot down, like, do not comp my guitar solos. This is my guitar solo. And then he goes in and he comps it, and I go, okay, that's way better. Like, if you listen to Ghost, it's a song of mine, there's like a mini guitar solo at the end that I thought I did a fucking 6 or 7 great full takes, but Palm like cut it up, he moved things around, and it's like a beautifully
way better than you could have
imagined.
Melody
and everything.
Well, just like if you're paying attention while we're doing the takes, like we're in the moment, he's just kind of coming up with what feels good, and he's in, you know, reacting. Maybe he's tried different ideas. Maybe like we're coming back to different ideas in take 30, and like we found 30. What finally works.
Not even wrong,
but you know 30, what? Yes. That first performance of it was actually the best one that he
you
couldn't
see.
Really create that. So sometimes like you'll see take 7, it's like, oh, he found that new idea that is now like the coolest thing. Oh, but actually it would really work in the beginning part of that solo, and you can move things around too and really get creative. We did that for a couple of the tunes, but then there's other ones where you just sort of it's a straight, you know, full take.
That's definitely the extreme, and like each artist is different. Some people are like, don't comp my stuff, don't do my stuff, this is, I want it raw, I want it garage, I want it out of time. And other artists are like, yo, we're gritting this, and this is like perfection, and
it's like a collage.
Yeah.
It's all art, and it's all like, what else are we doing with our lives? Like, doesn't matter. Like, we're just trying to create something that we're proud of.
I just love editing.
It's kind of like what I talk about is like kind of it's a bad way of saying it, but just taking shit and throwing it at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Hell yeah.
It's kind of a weird way to say it. I will agree to that.
I've been in writing sessions with, like, you know, signed to artists, writers, and producers, like, and they just, the producer will make a fresh beat out of nowhere. The writer will go in the mic the first time that they've heard that music and just react and sing a melody and come up with some words here and there. Yeah. And then they work and refine it, and they make it what it is.
And that comes down to energy. Like, it doesn't matter how perfect you play it. Like, if the energy of when you are playing it is good, like, it comes across and the listener can hear that.
Okay. What is, as far as your influence on the Jersey Shore, I think we were talking about, you know, bands coming to you and who you represent. It's a big, you know, you represent a lot of Asbury Park and Jersey Shore bands.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. We just focus on bands that are really performing a lot in Asbury Park, around the whole Jersey coast, you know, some New York and Philly, but, you know, we kind of center it right in Asbury Park.
Yeah, we work with some people that are currently living in Nashville too, but it's like, if you have some ties to Asbury, for us, it's like we're trying to, you know, lift the Asbury music that we love and try to show it to the rest of the world if possible.
Yeah. My favorite, I've been to the House of Independence so many times. Yeah. Funny enough, I did not see a band there. I didn't. I went to see comedy. Cody Coe, if you know him, he's like a really big YouTuber. Like, he does this thing. He has like a, basically, he is an artist. They have a, I wouldn't call it a band, but it's a two people. It's him and Noel Miller. They're called the Tiny Meat Gang.
Tiny Meat Gang.
And let me just say, their music, like, they started making music on YouTube as a joke. And now they, like, I don't know what major record label they're picked up by. Of course, they're picked up because they're big YouTubers. Mm-hmm. But they're also pretty good. But I'm not saying if
Tenacious D is one of my favorite bands.
You can find an audience.
You have to find an audience. So that's what's important. Is my next thing is like, let's just say I'm an artist on the street and I want to get picked up. Do you guys find your, obviously, like the people that you want to be in your label, or do you have people reaching out to you?
It's a combination of the two. Really, like, we're looking to be an addition to your team. A lot of people reach out to us going like, do everything. And it's like no, we want people that are going to put the work in themselves, and we can match their work, and we can, like, both together build each other up.
But I think we're pretty realistic in terms of what we know what we can help accomplish and help other bands accomplish with our resources. And as long as artists understand that and are willing to not get any false expectations or anything like that, you know, because, you know, certain people, they hear record label and they just think, oh, millions and millions of dollars.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's
rich.
Just, you know, me no, and Fern it's sort
me
of
and
funding
Tom
our
balding in his basement and just trying to figure
you
it out.
You don't really make a living doing music.
It's just it's so
difficult. No, you do. You make a living doing everything you do in life.
Exactly.
Music is a part of the puzzle.
It's piece
so
it together.
Difficult.
You know?
It is very difficult. It's one of those professions where, and the good thing is, a lot of people, I say, give up early because they don't think it's a live, like, something that you can make a living off of.
It's all about what your goal is. For me, my goal is to feel happiness, and I feel the most happiness when I'm playing with my 14-piece band, or I'm in the studio with Malibu, or I'm developing a different band that I like, or I'm on a Zoom call with, like, Bobby Mahoney and just hanging with him and trying to help them out. Like, that's it. We're just trying to help guide people to the next phase of their career, whatever that is.
Yeah. I love being an entrepreneur. I think musicians and artists, they have to really embrace that they are entrepreneurs. They're sort of piecing a career themselves together. You know, you're not going to get hired at a full-time job and move up the ranks for years to come. You have to build that yourself. You have to create that story of your life.
Well, there's no guaranteed salary. You know,
exactly.
Every 2 weeks, you're not getting something coming in, so it makes you
you gotta be doing it too, not for just that reason too, you know, like, I wouldn't be doing music if it was about the money. It's really it satisfies the soul to be involved.
What do you prioritize?
Like,
you need that. You need that base level. I'm not gonna be this hippy dippy dude saying you don't need money, man. No, you need that base level.
Yeah, man.
You
don't need
bills.
Money.
You
just
need to make sure you're healthy.
Cush and a van.
I think everybody just wants to get by.
Definitely not that. You know? No. So, like, you do your things, man. I work three different jobs during the week, couple days here and there. I make my cash, and then, like, I spend all that money either on rent or my own music.
Doing your passion shit, which is this, which is, you know. I fuck with that so much. I mean, my kind of goal is somewhere in social media and entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's I don't know where that is right now, and, you know, I'm still trying to figure that out. And that's the big thing, where so many young people, especially, like, even people our age, you don't have to know what you want to be. You really don't, because, like, I've been working in real estate for 3 years. I didn't take a single, like, in school, I didn't take a single real estate class. I've been doing it because I'm pretty good at it. Mm-hmm. Not that I love it, but, you know, if I was like 15, I said, oh, you're going to be working in real estate or something, I would have said, fuck you. No, I'm not. I didn't know anything. Yeah. But that's what I'm just saying. Even now with this page and blowing up and even doing TikTok and stuff like that, you don't need the end goal. You just got to do what makes you happy.
Hell yeah.
As long as, you know, life is too short.
Yeah, it's tough because, like, you start looking at the numbers too. It's like, well, only 2,000 people listen to my music and only 10,000 people watch my video. It's like, well, who cares if 7 did? Like, do it for you, make it for you.
If there's one thing the pandemic taught me, it was basically just that, you know, doing something with people that you care about and making something happen is really important. It's not really about the results too much, as long as you can just, you know, especially now, do things safely and make sure everybody's healthy. Like, that's sort of the goal, I think. long term, even beyond something like this, just trying to stay on that course and ride it out.
And a big thing with the record label is we say we're only 4 or 5 years into this, but we are trying to create a legacy for all of our artists. Like, in 40 years, why won't someone listen to Bobby Mahoney? Why won't someone listen to Lola? Why won't someone listen to
Malibu?
Swagmatics, Malibu? Like, our, why not? So we're trying to just make sure that the music can live on. And even think, like, we don't use DistroKid, but they have, like, a service for, like, what do you want to do when you die? Do you want your music to still go on? And, like... Yeah. We're not obviously thinking that yet, but we want to be able to create a legacy for our artists. Like, we have 3 or 4 bands that were on our label that broke up, and we're still putting out old live recordings. We're still putting out old demos. Like, the music doesn't ever have to end. You can always listen.
Well, it doesn't. That's the beauty of the internet is, I mean, once you, like, unfortunately, once you put something out there, it's always out there.
Yeah.
And you could actively, like,
until
repost
the government
it.
Decides to just... take control of everything.
Well, let me just say, there's a reason. I'm glad you brought that up. If you look at the shirt I'm wearing, it's called Birds Aren't Real.
I've heard of this.
And now the brand actually...
Shout out, Dragon.
They're a fan of the meme page, funny enough. And they actually DM me one day. They're like, dude, I have no idea because they're not even have nothing to do with New Jersey. But I made, like, I forget, it was a story of mine. I think it was about Vermont or something. I don't know. But I think they fucking hate Vermont too.
Cool.
But he reached out to me and he was like, oh, dude, you want some merch? And I wore this to Topgolf. I think it was like 2 nights ago that I was playing. I had like random guys like walk up to me like, dude, I love that shirt. It's funny. I mean, my mom loves birds. She's just like, you're fucking wrong. They're real. I'm like, I don't actually think birds are fucking fake.
There could be some that are fake.
It doesn't say all birds.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be. Yeah, there's no reason like 30 birds out there aren't.
There was just
like
a Netflix show. I just watched it. It was like Spycraft, I think it's called. And the first episode was about like drones and recon and
stuff. Are you
and
into
birds? They showed the birds. They showed them straight up. Watch this thing. It's
what
showed,
is it called?
It's called Spycraft, I believe. It's okay. Something about spy technology and all these things. And each episode was sort
it's
of
it's funny that you bring it up because, like, I have a band of 15 people, and like 6 or 7 of them are just like internet to the max, and they're always like sending me these like.
Are they conspiracy theorists?
Yeah, Fern's not internet.
Yeah. Like birds aren't real. Like, they went off on that for a while. And they're always telling me these new terms like top and sub and all these
only
things.
Only foes. Only fans. I'm
I
sorry.
I didn't know what an OnlyFans was until my band was. Yeah.
Until we decided to come up with Only Foes.
I have a band called Foes of Fern, so we're gonna do a Patreon page called Only Foes.
Okay.
So if you want to join in.
Now, will you be putting pornographic content on there?
Only if you pay me.
Every man has his price, okay?
Every man.
Well, there was actually a tweet I saw. I'm not on Twitter, but it was posted on Instagram. It's like, why do girls like make OnlyFans or something like this? Girl was
money.
Like, no, it was not even that. It was like, why do guys make podcasts when they should go see a therapist? And some guy tweeted back, he's like, why do girls make an OnlyFans when they should go see a therapist?
That's good.
Not trying to be a sexist or anything.
Yeah,
right,
no, that's
here.
Fine.
But so let's just say, just playing on that fact, you're saying about, you know, picking people up for your label.
Yeah.
You guys aren't huge whatsoever, but I think that plays to the part of how hard you guys work and you focus on the artists that you
have. We have a really good small team. Like, Adel got us onto this podcast. So
awesome.
Shout out to Adel. He has
a
podcast called Podecki. If you're watching, go check it out. He does vinyl reviews and all this other stuff. And we have like 6 or 7
team,
other people,
you know,
that like really help us out. And we're on our communication app called Slack every day. And we all just care about what we're doing. It's cool. We're doing it to build something.
Yeah.
And we're doing it because we were bored during the pandemic. So that was
well, the pandemic blew everyone up. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say, we've been meeting up with a small team, just getting like by as friends too, like meeting on Zoom over the pandemic and stuff. Just
Tom just
connecting.
Wants to hang out on Zoom every day.
Seriously, because it's the only time
that
we
get... party guy?
House Party's an app.
Oh,
he's an app.
Yeah, I heard about it, but
it's shit. So keep using it.
I can't. There's too many apps. There's way too many apps.
House Party's fine. If I'm on my phone, I want to be playing games. I don't want to be talking. So I'd rather use my computer for Zooming, and I can play games while I'm doing that.
I don't want to get you started on TikTok, then, man. You're never gonna get off.
Yeah,
you're gonna say goodbye to the games.
I do not want to. I can't do TikTok.
No, it's one of those things. Let me like where I talk shit on it so long, like for so long.
But you love it now. I could feel the love.
I make content, and here's the problem. I originally got a big following. I have 44,000 followers on there right now, which pisses me off because it took me a month to do it. It took me 2 years to reach 30K on Instagram.
Rad.
Fucking
wow.
Pisses me off. But what I'm getting at is that there's this David Dobrik puzzle. Do you know guys know David Dobrik? So he's one of the biggest internet celebrities. He's a big YouTuber. So he has this new thing, this David Dobrik puzzle, where it's a $35 puzzle, and you build it. It takes around 3 or 4 days, but once you build it, it becomes a big QR code, and you scan it, you could win anywhere from 25 cents to 100,000.
So
it,
great!
It's such a it's a scam, cool. But it's so great. But the reason I bought it, awesome. I'm like, this is good content.
Yeah.
So I made a post like 2 weeks ago saying, because I have horrible luck in life, I just generally do. I said, guys, if I win this David Dobrik puzzle, because I'm probably not, I'll give $50,000 to my 62 followers.
Oh, that's great!
Because I had 62 followers at the time. And I woke up the next morning and that shit blew up. It had 100,000 views and I went up to 10,000 followers. Because everyone was just like, they wanted a piece of the money. So I kind of rode that train of that and I kept saying it. I promise, I still haven't gotten the damn puzzle. David, send me this goddamn puzzle. Because I have people messaging me every day. Oh, yeah, you're not giving us the money. You're not. And I really, because I actually upped it. I said, because I have 10,000 followers, I'm going to give away the entire 100,000.
No way.
But listen, if I do win, but I'm still waiting on
You're still waiting on the puzzle?
I still, like...
All right, here's what you got to do. You got to buy two puzzles.
Dude, they're
sold
out.
Yep. Okay. Because what I was going to say, you have two puzzles. You take two videos. There's one puzzle of you winning. There's one puzzle of you losing. You post a losing puzzle, you're good.
Keep the 100?
Yeah,
but dude. Here's the deal, dude. Like, if I win that 100K and I give it away, not going to lie.
Great idea.
I'll be on, like, Ellen tomorrow. Yeah. It's like, that's something like that if you have like that much, so either way it's good. I'm not doing it to be like,
there's,
you know,
one
a good
like
person.
YouTube channel that all they do is give away money and stuff. I forget.
Mr. Beast. Shout out Mr. Beast. Mr. 50 Beast. Million goddamn fucking subscribers. Good for him.
Yeah, dude, he's always like doing scratch offs and like checking out
he literally bought an island.
Yeah.
He bought like an island over
good
in the Caribbean.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, he's honestly fucking incredible. Guys, welcome back to the MCM podcast number 25. We just took a little commercial break. There's not going to be any commercial in there. Actually, our network is finding some sponsors for us, some new ones. Thank you for starting that, Justin.
Oh, nice.
But so, guys, we're going to get back into a little bit of my SoundCloud career and how, you know, or why it's not, you know, taking off. And I'm going to ask these guys if they could just painfully take me into their label and then I'll be the next 6ix9ine.
Yeah, there's just a down payment of $10,000 and you're in.
I have to give you guys a Bitcoin and then
that's
we're
probably
good
enough,
right?
Actually. That sounds pretty sweet.
I'll take a Bitcoin.
Dude, they're 33,000.
Whole Bitcoin?
It's 33,000.
Yeah, you have a Bitcoin?
I wish.
Just everybody get rid of them. I invested $50 into Bitcoin like 3 years ago, and now it's $100. I feel like
just leave.
That's crazy.
You know what freezing cold takes are? They're like bad takes. This guy tweeted like back in 2011, like Bitcoin was at $2, and it was at $4, but it went down to $2, and this guy's like, yeah. All you dumbasses are buying. It's going down. This thing's shit. Now that's at 33,000. Like,
insane.
Imagine, dude. Holy
yeah,
shit.
Imagine having 10 Bitcoins.
So how big has social media, like how big of that does that play a role into the record label business?
Too big?
Yeah, it's too big. We need
not,
do like, you not like it?
In a way, I think it takes away from the main part of everything. But it's super necessary today because it's like you can reach directly to the people that you want to listen to your music and connect and follow along with what you're doing.
It needs to be a bigger part of what we do. We have right now we have Jenna Daniels. She's working it for us and she's fantastic.
She good?
Yeah, she's great. She's the only reason why we have any presence. So she's doing good. And yeah. So
I don't understand Facebook. Facebook, like,
it's dead. Facebook's dead. Facebook's for my dad to yell about Trump.
I want
to
say, yeah, it is very, I hate it. So like that and like town pages, if you're ever a part of like your town's Facebook page, I troll on there. Yeah, I actually, me and my buddies troll because people like these like whether it's like these old men or old women, they're just complaining. Every little thing, I saw a fox in my yard today. We got it. Like I said to a lady, I'm like, fox. So now we're just going to exterminate all the foxes. Like that's what we're going to do. Like that. I think there's much more pressing issues that have happened this past year. Just it's the small town effect. You know, yeah. You don't think about anything outside of it.
Yeah.
But I die. So me and my buddies, me and JR, actually, we would just troll the fuck out of people. And some old people, they're cool. They'll like play along with it. But whatever. I want to get into a game that I have for you guys. Yeah. And it's bringing up some of the so-called worst artists of our generation.
Okay.
And I want to see, because you guys are music connoisseurs, I mean, run a damn record label, I think you would have a pretty good presence of mind about what good music is. So this girl,
subjective,
she,
man.
Yeah, this person wrote an article right here. Saying, let me see, what's the name of the article? It's the 15 most hated bands of the last 30 years.
And just because they're hated doesn't mean they're bad.
Okay, yeah, let's see. Let me see with you guys. I'm going to say them. Now, the first one, we already mentioned this before, Nickelback.
Of course, it's number one. I don't know if they're bad. Like, like, this is how you remind me of. That song rips. Like, I've covered that before, and
Rockstar?
It's Rockstar sucks.
Oh, dude, it makes everyone about to be a rockstar.
I don't even know why they're hated, like, really. You know?
It's just memed out.
Well, Chad Kroeger is also, like, I didn't know this, but I looked, he's a douchebag. He's a frat boy douchebag.
Then fuck him, because, like,
that could have a big reason.
But listen, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the, it's jealousy.
It has to stem from there. I mean, like, look, I'm not going to sit here and be like, I listen to Nickelback every day. I love their music. Photograph is my spirit animal. Like, no, like, that's not.
Did you see the Google sponsored ad recently?
About them?
Google did an ad with Nickelback, and he's holding up the photograph. You've probably seen the video.
That's so good.
And it goes and it zooms into photograph, and it's him, and it's like a whole Google like ad, and it's like all these different.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It's really good. The thing about it is he sang lyrics about like doing things. Like, it was so funny. It was like a meme song.
They embraced it for sure.
But Google obviously must have put some money into it.
The photograph music video is hilarious, I gotta say. It is the funniest music video out there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't hate him. I think there's this one article I read that he was really drunk in Germany and then dared this German drunk guy to, like, put his dick into, like, a fan. Ooh. I don't know how true that is. I want to fact Justin. If you could fact check that.
Yeah, we're going to the fact check team right now.
Pull up the video, actually.
Go to the tape.
Okay, the next one. Smash Mouth.
Oh. Hey now. That is not hate, though. That is such love.
There's so much love for it, because that's another song that I've covered. Like, I covered it last Halloween as a joke. I just started it to play it as a joke, and my whole band knew it somehow.
It's a meme.
I'm a Believer in Shrek is...
Great.
Is
thank you.
I peak.
That's not their song, though. They covered it.
Yeah, I know. But their version of it in Shrek is... just the best.
Look, you have to be. We're not
obviously
saying
the monkeys
bad.
Version is also my favorite, but it's just, you know,
it's almost like, all right, Don't Stop Believing. That is actually a fantastic song that I just heard too much. Same thing.
Journey
with,
on that list.
Yeah, but like,
I'll see. It could
you
be
just,
on there.
You just hear music too much, and it becomes a meme. It literally becomes a meme. That's the problem with it.
That can be a problem too. That happens with radio and pop music. I'm sure there's so many songs that are up right now that were up 2 months
just
ago
overplayed.
That we're sick of. That
I don't know
you hear.
Why Smash Mouth is hated though. They only have one album, right? Do they have more than one?
I'm not sure.
Definitely have more than one. And it was definitely the internet thing. It was just all of a sudden you started hearing that. Also, the one note version of All Star.
Oh, it's so bad.
Hey now, you're an All Star. Get your game on.
No,
go play.
I haven't heard
now.
That.
Just all like, sounds like the devil's music.
Okay.
And they were in that movie Rat Race. Rat Race is a great movie.
So, oh, shit. You're right.
They ended up, that's how I fell in love with them. Shrek, Rat Race, come on.
Did we play All Star at Camp Quarantine?
Yeah, we did.
For like three, we did like the whole version. We did
all
the verses.
You guys can't be talking shit, okay? You're playing their music.
We like them. Yeah, I didn't say I hate them. You put them number two on this list.
No, this is
not your list.
No order. It's no order whatsoever. So next one, John Mayer.
Amazing guitarist. All right, so this is the guy's fantastic.
He's
I understand why you hate him. I get it.
He's a cocky bastard. He's a cocky little.
He gets a lot of bitches. That's the problem. I think a lot of guys are just like, listen, he's a good looking, tall, fucking beautiful
fantastic.
Man.
I've learned his guitar solos.
Singing so sweet.
He plays very well.
He gets to play with like the Grateful Dead, right? Isn't he in like the Dead and Company?
Not sure.
I think he went on or he played with them.
Okay.
But whatever.
They did a whole tour.
All look, right. He's not. Look, I understand why he's hated. A lot of people like a lot of white guys that like take away from black musicians that should be the main blues guitarist, like Eric Clapton too.
Yeah.
And like that's the thing though, like they're not anything more special, but they do get more attention. So people are mad at John Mayer for getting attention for playing B.B. King solos, for playing Jimi Hendrix solos and things like that. But like, does it make him bad? No. Is he as good as other musicians? No. But like, I still think he's fantastic.
Well, they wrote a horrible article about Post Malone when he originally rose to fame from White Iverson. They called him a culture vulture.
Culture vulture.
Which is just like the worst shit. And I think I want to say it's The Breakfast Club. Literally, like, I do not watch that show. I think Charlamagne the God's on there. They basically were just trying to, like, trap him in, like, horrible, like, racist questions.
Yeah.
Saying, like, asking him that stuff. And he's, like, the nicest guy. Have you ever seen an interview with him?
Yeah, he's very
like,
kind.
Literally the nicest fucking guy I've ever seen.
Yeah,
so
you got to block out the haters on your way to the top.
You do. And he is at the top. I actually, funny, I saw him 5 or 6 years ago in Montclair. I forget what the fucking small venue was, but he was opening up for Fetty Wap.
Ooh, cool.
A name that we don't really hear anymore. Okay, next up. And I fucking like this one too, so fuck whoever made this article. The Goo Goo Dolls.
I haven't listened to Goo Goo Dolls enough. That's
hated.
My problem.
Really? Why are they so hated? I don't listen to them enough. Just
say, your voice right there, one of my exes used to say, like, if I was like ever lying, my voice would go.
I can't even say if they're good or bad. I feel bad because you started
with I Love Them, but I have no feelings towards Goo Goo Dolls. I don't even know any of their – what songs do they have? Can we name one song of the Goo Goo Dolls?
Accidentally in Love, is that them?
No, that's Counting Crows. Yeah, Counting Crows. Is that sorry. Counting Crows? Better Days, the Goo Goo Dolls.
I've seen better days. Is that the song? No, did I just make that up? New song idea.
That might be a new that might be a hit, so don't say too much of that. Okay, but I fucking like them. It's another one. You're trying to look at it. Okay. Dave Matthews Band.
Yo, I love Dave Matthews Band. It's either don't people. Even. Yeah, I know. So many. I get that shit all the time.
It's
people
either
like,
they love it or yeah. they fucking hate them.
Yeah, no. I saw him at See Here Now. The 2 years ago was last year. Yeah, last year. See Here Now. Fucking the way to close out that whole festival. I had spent the whole time. Lowlight, one of our bands, actually got to play really? Earlier that day, and it was awesome to then close out that night with Dave Matthews. Just away, and I saw my one buddy who I found at the show. He was at the first B-Man. He was out at the. He took me to a Dave Matthews concert once and a Fish concert. Oh yeah, you know. But
I don't want to say Fish is on here. But
I have no opinions about most of these bands. So continue.
Okay, Train.
Train.
Train's funny because one of the people that used to work with my old band, the Burns, used to know them. So really? Train, there's a video of the whole band of Train going, "Hey Burns, you suck. You're the worst band in Asbury."
That's actually pretty cool.
I love Train. That's really sick. I don't know any of their songs, but just because of that.
I actually one time filled in for Train's guitar tech. Moose, but the thing it wasn't that it was Train was the band. It was Moose had another gig that he was unable to make that I had to fill in for. It was for Nile Rodgers at Bonnaroo. So I got to like get guitar tech and stuff, but I found out later that it was Moose who was supposed to do that.
So we like Train not because of their music, because of a positive impact they've had on our lives. But
yeah,
I don't
Train,
know any
your
Train
music
songs.
Fucking sucks. No, it's not like the Jupe, what? Teardrops or what? The Jupe?
Drops of Jupiter. Drops of Jupiter. Jupiter.
Jupiter, yeah.
Hey Soul Sister. I love that song.
Hey Soul Sister.
Pass. I've okay. covered
pass,
all these
pass
songs.
You,
before.
You like Train. I
most
like
of
Train.
These lists are not on the hated list for me.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like,
for me, it's just ska music. I just hate ska music. So okay. as long as.
Blink 182.
How are they hated?
That's what I'm saying. Who How are they fucking
this?
Hated?
You know what it is? You know who made this? Some little teen bopper that's like.
That's like, yo, like, give me more Lil Pump.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Blink 182, they're nostalgic
for me. None of these artists are good
me.
On TikTok.
They're, you know, they're not like the best band. Like, I mean, their technicality, I mean, the drumming's cool, I guess, but.
Like Travis Barker?
Yeah, but technicality-wise, they're not the best band. All their harmonies are incredibly processed. They don't even sing their harmonies. They literally just pop them up. Like, we were talking about
Where
Auto-Tune
are
before.
You?
Love that song. Where are you? Yeah. That's like, but it's Is a that, meme. It's a fucking meme.
That's not. Adam's song, is it? No.
I Miss You. That's the one.
Yeah.
I know this is not the same band, but I really like Simple Plan.
Yeah.
Simple Plan. They're probably not they're probably on that list somewhere.
It's actually list. Not, and I like Simple Plan.
I feel like I liked Simple Plan when Blink 182 was happening. That was the thing. But I really like Blink 182.
They're just
I do
fun.
Too.
They're just
I do
it's
too.
Nostalgic and they're fun. Like, what are you listening for? You want technicality? Go listen to a symphony. Like you're not listening to Blink 182 for that shit.
Okay, next up. Creed.
Oh, I hate Creed.
Can you take
I
Creed?
Hate Creed? Yeah, I guess that's
fuck
all
Creed
agreed
next.
Here. Yeah,
fuck
we can
Creed.
All agree on that one.
I gotta dig Creed, okay? It's not like I
can
listen to
Can you take that song
Creed.
Is good, right?
He just got that.
Wait.
The voice.
Oh,
what?
No, that's not. I don't know. Different song.
I'm also like not well versed enough. I know they're
Can
like,
I just yeah. say, like, we're pretty much through the list, okay. but then they had to put a dishonorable mentions and just if, as if funny. They she didn't fuck up most of these people's lives. She just had to throw some
None
other
of these
ones
people care. All these
are
people
you ready
are
for
swimming
these?
In their
oh,
money.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah,
they fucking fine.
They have so much goddamn money. They don't give a shit. Mashbox 20. I like Rob Thomas.
Dude.
Rob Thomas is funny. Like, he did that one song with Santana, Smooth.
Yeah, yeah. That's
Yo, he also did that one song that I got to sing the background vocals on. Oh, I'm sorry, two songs.
That's true. That's sick. Some is on his last album.
So yeah. So my main gig is working at Atlantic Records in their recording studio in New York. And one day, one of the sessions on the calendar was Rob Thomas coming in with Butch Walker to work on his solo album. And it was like, oh my God, this is awesome. He came in, you know, worked on, he laid down the demos for the whole song on acoustic with his guitar player from Matchbox 20. And, you know, Butch Walker took it home.
That's so cool, dude.
Came back like a month or two later, and he had produced all the tracks, and it was just him singing like vocals and Rob's original vocals. And the three of us in the studio as engineers were like just hanging around, just doing whatever Butch needed us to do to help the session. He was like, hey, we need some gang vocals. You guys want to hop on there? So the song One Less Day from Dying Young.
Okay.
Listen for that high harmony. I will.
I'll do that right on my way home. All right.
So I love Matchbox 20.
You love...
What's that? What's their one song with this, like something about fire?
No, there's like 3 a.m. There's her diamonds. There's like a bunch. Unwell, I want to say, is another one. Like, hey, listen, they got to. It's one of those things. Same thing with Nickelback. You know, you can say you hate them, but a song plays whether you're at a party or something post COVID.
You rock out.
You all know the lyrics. Everyone does.
Check out this live set on YouTube. He did Rob Thomas Songkick Live. Songkick? Okay. He did at our office. I ran sound for it. Wow. So he played all the hits from Matchbox to solo, ooh, just acoustic. Oh man, it's you'll be like, oh, every one of these songs. Like I love all these songs. Like you know them. You
Fern's
know?
Like, fuck that. I'm not.
Come on, you next. Fern, you can attest to a good song translating from any format, from the record to an acoustic thing, and like that's how you know when a song can be sung in any format.
A good song is just something that makes you feel something that you like. If it makes you feel something that you don't like, maybe it's good too. But like, it's how does the melody, how does the lyrics, how do the chords interact with each other?
Say whatever you want about, you know, any of these artists' lyrics and production and well, no, not the lyrics, but yeah, the song, singing, the their voices. Like, are the songs good? You know, do they really hit a chord with people? Like, who sometimes you'll find even on like that list, maybe like one guy's in the band that wrote it. Maybe it's another person writing these songs too. That's just giving them to these
ghostwriters.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring up another one.
All right, let's hear it.
Get ready for this. Mm-hmm. Linkin Park.
Oh, tough. Linkin Park.
So do I.
Tough. Encore. Do You Want More? None.
Like
with the Jay-Z remix?
Which is the one with the pain, the song with all the pain in it and the darkness?
Oh, they had Shadow a song with...
Maybe Shadow of the Day is sad.
For the Transformers movie.
There's New Divide. Is that it?
Oh, that might have been it.
Well, dude, that thing, Transformers blew up.
But they were huge before that.
Well, yeah, I'm saying like even before that, but like that was so big with like Shia LaBeouf and that. But
in the end.
Got it.
That's a good song.
I was so into watching anime music videos for Naruto. Cut to that song. It's so epic when you watch the fights with that song. Like that song was made for something like that.
It was. I mean, but that was at the end of Transformers when like Optimus Prime was like, you guys better, like all the humans, if any other threat comes, if the, like we will, like us Autobots will be here. And then it just goes, it's so hype. God, that was 2007.
Oh my
We're getting
God.
Fucking old, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Jesus Christ.
That was after the Megan Fox one, right? Because that was my favorite one.
Well, no, she was in 1 and 2.
Okay.
She was in Revenge of the first
Shia
one.
Oh, Shia LaBeouf got booted eventually, right?
He did one more Marky without Mark. Her, the third one, I think Dark of the Moon. And then that was with like a really hot girl. But listen, Megan Fox is Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Dating Machine Gun Kelly right now. That's awesome. Good for you, man. Hey. Great for you. But then there was like another with Mark Wahlberg.
There was one with
either,
Mark
Wahlberg. Yeah, either way, like he's not gonna turn down $30 million. Come on, like they're gonna send him that money. It's like Dwayne Rock Johnson.
Yeah,
they're in Samuel Jackson. They're in every single movie.
They're great visualizers.
What was the plot? I don't want to talk too much about Transformers, but what was the plot with Mark Wahlberg? Like, did they explain
the
Shia LaBeouf?
The Transformers? They do things. aliens. But like, what are
they shot? Did they there just, was a plot.
I'm sorry.
Was it like Shia LaBeouf's character died?
Explosions.
Or like he left? Or was,
there was
he
a chase
Shia LaBeouf's
scene.
Character?
Oh, there was one part where his daughter has this like guy that she's kind of seeing and he doesn't approve.
Oh my God, yeah.
And then the guy actually ends up saving them from like
the
agency
guy.
And they got and there's this whole awesome car chase. You should definitely watch every Transformers
I would
movie.
Say watch it like in order though, because the first one's really good.
They
Second
do
one,
connect.
Better
they
fight
do.
Scenes. But I don't know. It's Michael Bay movies, the director, he's really known for explosions. Like, that's like the biggest meme. If you watch, guys, look up Up. The movie Up, of course, but with like if it was directed by Michael Bay. And it's so funny, like every little thing is like the little kid walks up to the front door, just blood. So it's like 2 minute trailer of that movie, but just VX explosions.
Well,
it's
really love remix culture at its finest.
Yeah, listen, it's the meme culture, and this is what kind of got me into podcasting. Is I'm a memester, I'm a weird content creator, and I see that on TikTok. Unfortunately, I'm getting a really weird audience, and I see Justin comments on my stuff a lot of time, and I didn't want to say one thing. Justin, thank you for coming today and helping out.
You're Justin. Awesome. Everyone, if you're sitting in your cars driving, start clapping.
Yeah, start clapping. I don't care if you're driving. Yeah, these guys are Homedale guys. And I have a bunch of Homedale friends through Monmouth, and they're just the fucking worst people I've ever met. I mean, worst. Yeah, no, I'm lying. I made a joke about Homedale. Actually, thanks to Justin, I made a map of Homedale, and I got some heat for it on my page, unfortunately.
Did you include Telegraph Hill Road on that map?
I don't know. I got to check. I should have.
There's a Homedale memes page, not nearly as successful as yours.
It's not. I'm friends with the kid. He's young. Thing is, he's a nice guy. Younger. Yeah. But I made a meme before we close this out. Basically, I did maps of different places in Monmouth County, home, and I did a map of Colts Neck, where Colts Neck has a lot of Italian people. So I put hella Italian people live in Colts Neck. No one had a problem with that. Okay, I'm like Italian, Eastern European, Irish, whatever.
There's farms. You got a lot of farms there.
I was told that to put. In Homedale, one area has a lot of Asian people.
It's true.
Which really is just, it's not being mean. It's not being racist or whatever. I just said that. And good thing I'm like really quick on this shit because, you know, you got to nip something in the bud. Mm-hmm. But someone commented as soon as I did that, this white girl, it's like a social justice warrior, she commented, that's racist. And I wrote back to her. I was like, okay, so it was fine for me to say hella Italians live in Colts Neck, but for me to say hella Asians, I'm not calling them any bad names. I'm just stating a fact. And thank God I did that because my followers hopped on to that. Nice. And they were like, I even had this one Asian kid that was like, I'm Asian. It doesn't offend me. So go fuck yourself to that girl. Dude, and honestly, she literally messaged me. She's like, please delete my comment.
She could delete her own comment.
I know. I don't know. She was like, oh God, I'm getting hate from this. I'm like, well, you kind of said, listen, the internet.
I'm afraid of the internet. I am petrified of the internet.
That's why you got to really watch out. Where on Instagram, our follower base is very PC. It's a younger audience. I mean, it's probably 16 to 22 with some of an older following. But on TikTok, what really scares me about my content is that it literally sends my content out to more people that like the stuff that I post. And I'm like an edgy, darker guy, but not all the time. Mm-hmm. So my problem is I post edgier shit. And as a joke, and then the edgy people come to my page, and I'm like, oh, guys. Like, I'm not truthful about it because I made a joke about girls not being like this girl on there not making a funny video. Mm-hmm. So I'm making a series about like women, like me watching female videos, part whatever, and not laughing as a joke. Not saying all females can't be funny, but just the girl's video isn't funny because I'm on the internet, I hate bad content. When a person puts out good content and put a lot of time and effort into it, I'll you know, applaud it. But you know, all these people that are like, yeah, girls can never be funny. Hell yeah, guys are the only ones.
That's not what I'm saying, dude. You stop right now.
And I'm like, guys, no. And then I posted a video of this guy not being funny to show the other thing. And they're like, yo, friendly fire, what are you doing, bro? I'm like, yeah, that's not a funny video. His video sucks. So it's just, I have these all like very pro guy. And I wouldn't, they're all like 13-year-olds.
Oh, God.
So my demo on TikTok is even worse. I'm just going to go into it more with that.
TikTok.
But before we close this out, I want to ask you guys if you want to plug anything, of course, that you have coming up.
Definitely.
Yeah, we got a series we're doing with this promoter called Asbury Sunset Presents at the Watermark in Asbury in February and a couple in March. Some of our artists, Malibu's playing, Des and the Swagmatics playing. I'm doing a set.
Better fucking be there.
A lot of live streams coming up. But also, more importantly, stream the music that we've got that we just released.
Where can they find that?
TelegraphHillRecords.com. You can find pretty much all of our playlists, all of our music, our artists. We've got Spotify and a Apple Music profile too. We've got playlists on there, whichever your platform.
We just Instagram, released a new Facebook. Compilation also.
Yeah, so we just released 17 brand new songs from different artists from the Jersey Shore, Asbury Park, and around
Spotify
the area.
Spotify playlist. If you want to listen to each of the songs, you can. 17 songs. Apple Music. and Apple Music.
I'm an Apple Music guy. I think, I get a lot of hate for
it. A lot of people are. Yeah. That's the thing.
Well, you can find the playlist there. We do a compilation every year where it's like a whole bunch of singles from a whole bunch of the artists that we're working with.
It's all a little bit diverse, so you're a little
We're able to branch out and really explore working with some newer talent and maybe like see how it works, test some waters. And then throughout the year, we'll kind of like right now, I'm working on albums from a lot of different artists like Bobby Mahoney, Des and the Swagmatics, Patty C, Taylor Tote,
Jared Clemens, Foes
of Fern, Jared Clemens. A lot of artists. That's the thing, is you'll see like
Tappan should have one coming
the
out.
The sampler,
too, right?
Yeah. You'll see like on the seven, like who's sort of like you get a taste of all these different artists, and we'll be able to like really help build out the projects as the artists sort of develop their thing. Because there's also new people that like Lake Champagne is just coming out with her first track and seeing how it goes, and they're like figuring out how to do a video now and just kind of learning that process and developing.
Yeah, if you
want to
see what's going to happen for us throughout the year. Give the compilation a listen. You'll get a taste of the musicians that we're talking to. And then next year, there'll be new people and old people on that list. And that's the albums that are coming out. But we have – this year is going to be a big EP album year for us. In the past, it's just been singles. I mean, Lowlight did release an album recently.
We've released albums and stuff. But it's really just –
it mainly has been singles. So right now, we're going into bigger pieces of content. There's going to be a lot of music out in 2021 for us.
Awesome. So, I mean, most content creators like myself, at some point we get popular enough. I see that Justin will go like a one or two more minutes. You know, there's a point where I just got to make shitty YouTube music. So know I'm going to hit up you guys and you're going to make me seem a lot better than I fucking am.
I will give you
all my music for you. There's, you know, instrumentals and
it's not going to come off the top of the head. I'll tell you that. I'm good at like writing shit down.
Okay.
Really quickly, I want to ask, do you guys have a favorite artist from New Jersey?
Oh, dangerous question.
That's way
Next
too
question.
Hard. I mean, I really...
Next question.
Yes, no, I do actually. And it's it takes me back to my roots. It's a 60s artist. The Young Rascals, they are one of the best New Jersey artists. They've inspired Bruce Springsteen. Steve Van Zandt inducted them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Wow.
And for like close to a decade, I was very close with a lot of them and able to work as a guitar tech for Gene Cornish. And their music really inspires me, as well as their... production team they were signed to Atlantic Records, and one of their reasons signing with Atlantic Records was because Atlantic would allow them to sort of produce themselves, but they gave them a really good engineer and arranger, Arif Mardin and Tom Dowd, who are like my icons, my idols. You know, me and Fern are like the duo reincarnate of production, engineering, arranging. Like, we like to put a little bit of that flair onto the music that we work on, so that's kind of what inspires me.
Yeah.
So Palm has a good answer. If we're going for a New Jersey artist, can I count Danny DeVito as a New Jersey artist?
Is Azra, or was Azra part of Neptune?
He's definitely an artist.
Yeah. All right. So Danny DeVito or George R. R. Martin.
He's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I felt like he was like from.
No, he's from Bayonne.
Times.
He's from Bayonne.
Yeah, because I feel like it's really cliche to say Bruce Springsteen, like John Bon
Bruce
Jovi.
Is great.
I mean, Bruce and Bon Jovi were definitely like growing up some of the first ones you hear about. And
Frankie
you're like,
Valli,
wow.
Of course.
Frankie Valli. Matt O'Ree, he's Pommel's guitar teacher.
One of the things we actually did recently was get interviewed for this series show documentary called Jersey Sound.
Okay.
And just in talking to the producer of that, Fulvio, we really discovered that. Realize there's so many different artists in New Jersey. Like, it's an insane amount of talent in this area, you know?
It's rich. I mean, we just had David Bryan, who's the keyboardist in Bon Jovi, his daughter's a stand-up comedian, which is pretty successful.
Awesome.
We had her on Gabby Bryan. Oh my God, she, like, I want to say I like dirty, raunchy humor. She was really fucked up. So if you watch that episode.
For Dad's in the rock and roll business, you know.
Oh, yeah. She was grew up on the tour life, of course, like going with him. Awesome. But that's why this episode having you guys on is
awesome.
Like something.
Dude, so happy to be here.
Well, listen, I'm happy to have you guys on. I pride myself in kind of having a diverse amount of guests, but also people I want to have on. Like, you guys are really cool, and I like what you're doing.
Thank
guys,
you.
Obviously. If go follow all their socials, of course.
Telegraph Hill Records.
And Telegraph Hill Records. Is it just literally at Telegraph Hill Records?
Yep, everywhere.
Everywhere. That's going to make it
platforms.
Easy.
We're going to make a TikTok tomorrow.
YouTube. We have
make
a TikTok. We
TikTok.
Have a couple like TikToks, but if anybody has TikTok ideas.
If anybody out there would like to run our
Renegade.
TikTok page.
Since you got
please.
Such a great TikTok.
Yeah, 44K, but you don't want my followers. I will not do that to you guys because they'll probably like your music, but they'll bring their other very sexist dudes. So
yeah, we don't need
figure that out. You guys don't
fine.
Need that.
No.
So, guys, thank you for watching the 25th episode of the MCM podcast. We got a lot of things coming up for you guys, a lot of great guests, a lot of things changing, and I can't wait to take you guys with me. Thank you again for watching. Remember to follow all of our socials as well. Follow their socials. We're at the MCM podcast at Monmouth County Memes. Do not follow my TikTok account. I will not put that anywhere. It's a separate name from mine. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.